Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless your worship with us today.
Thank you. Please stand. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and what a blessing it is to be here among you today. Welcome to those of you watching this at home as well. And welcome to the children's choir up in the balcony and to all of your parents who brought you here on time. Thank you so much for that. We are excited to hear from our children later on in the service today. It is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost today, but you notice I'm wearing red, and we have red up here on the altar. Today is also, whenever October 23rd falls on a Sunday, the church has celebrated the festival of St. James of Jerusalem, who is also referred to as the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to hear more about who St. James was, and we're going to be giving thanks to God for his life in the service today. It also happens to be the fourth Sunday of a five-Sunday month. And here at Trinity, that means our tradition is that we will follow the order of Matins, which is found for you in the hymnal beginning on page 219. We will begin with our opening versicles. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. O come, let us worship him. Thank you. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Oh, come, let us worship him. For our psalm of the day, I invite you to turn to Psalm 133 in the front portion of your hymnal. We will sing this psalm responsively by whole verse. So I will do the odd verses, verses 1 and 3, and you will do verse 2. We'll all sing the Glory Be to the Father together at the end, and we'll hear Kathy play through the tune once. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The first reading appointed for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of Genesis, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading today is from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, and after verse 8, proceeding on to verse 16. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 9. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them, and when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We turn now back to page 221, actually, the bottom of page 221, and we will have the responsory. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I would like to invite all of our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Oliver.
It is wonderful to see all of you up here today. I know we don't have a lot of room for all of the people that are here, but we are so excited that you all found a spot. And thank you to those of you who are just singing. You did an excellent job. We really appreciate that. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
I'm glad to hear it. I hope some of you we'll be coming back later today. We're going to have a very special family night. We're going to be carving and decorating pumpkins, and so we hope that you can come and join us later. It's going to be a lot of fun. But first, today, this morning, I wanted to talk to you about something different. Today, we are actually going to be talking about a person named James. You could probably think of some people you've heard of named James in the Bible. But this is a very special James. This was a James who is known as the brother of our Lord Jesus. We're going to talk about what that might mean. But first, I wanted to tell you this. So the other day, Zoe found down in the basement at the parsonage, she found a camera that was given to her as a present a couple years ago. And we weren't really sure exactly where it was, but we found it. And so she's been using it again the last couple days. And one of the cool things that that camera can do is it can zoom in and it can zoom out, okay? So I thought, let's do something fun with zoomed in and zoomed out pictures. I've got a bunch of pictures here that are zoomed way in, and I want to see if you can guess what these things are. And then I'll show you the picture of what it looks like zoomed out. Does that sound good? All right. Here's the first one. Here is the first one. Let's make sure everybody has a chance to look at it. You all see it over there? It's kind of brown. Looks like it's got some holes or something in it. Riker, what do you think this is? Is it a beehive from Mr. Schaff's office? The Schaffus. No, it's not a beehive from Mr. Schaffus. What do you think it is? Is it a sponge? Kind of looks spongy. Nope, it's not a sponge. Jackson, what do you think? A sponge cake. It is not a sponge cake. It is chocolate. It is a bar of chocolate zoomed in from the side. Ah, okay. Let's try another one. What is this? What is this? Evie. A leaf. Does it look like a leaf? Maybe a little bit, but it's not a leaf. What do you think? Lettuce. Is it lettuce? No, it's not lettuce. Getting closer, getting warmer. Aislinn. It is a lime. Yes, it is a lime. Look at that. It is a lime. Okay. What is this? What is this? Trent. Never mind, he says. Fabiana. It's flowing water? Glowing water? No, it is not flowing or glowing water. Logan. A paper clip! It is a paper clip. Okay, one more. One more. What is this? What is this? Evan. A flashlight? Nope, it is not a flashlight. Ariel. A lamp? Nope, it is not a lamp. Kenzie. A light bulb? Nope, not a light bulb. Gavin, what do you think? A bottle? Nope, it's not a bottle. Melody. A bell? Nope, it is not a bell. Trent. A needle? Nope, it's not a needle. What is it? A candle? Nope, it's not a candle. It is a ballpoint pen. It is the tip of a pen. I know, crazy, right? Crazy. All right, so sometimes if you're zoomed in too far, it can be hard to tell what the big picture is, right? I was telling you about James, the brother of our Lord Jesus. So, did you know that Jesus had brothers and sisters in Nazareth? There were people who Jesus grew up with that were called his brothers and sisters. We actually hear about that in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus had brothers and sisters. One of them was named James. Can you imagine what it would be like if Jesus was your brother? You would be zoomed in on Jesus, wouldn't you? You would get to see all of the things that Jesus did when he was a kid and as he grew up. You would be right there, right? Just like you are with your brothers and sisters now. Those of you who have brothers and sisters, you are zoomed in on them, right? Sometimes, if you're zoomed in on a person, you might not know what God's plan is for them in the future, right? If you are fighting with your brother or sister, it might be hard to see how they are a loved child of God in the moment that you're mad at them, right? Or sometimes, if you're just zoomed in on your own life, sometimes it can be hard to see what your future is going to look like too, right? But how about Jesus, who never committed a sin, never did anything wrong, was the promised Messiah and the Savior of the world? Can you imagine being zoomed in on him? Unfortunately, James was not able to see for a long time who Jesus really was. And you know when that changed? Much, much later. A really big thing happened later on. After Jesus died on the cross, what was the next really big thing that happened, Keegan? He rose from the dead. And actually, we hear in the Bible that one of the people that Jesus saw was his brother James. And James believed in Jesus after that and was a really important figure in the early church after that. He actually preached the gospel to people all about how Jesus was the Savior, right? It can be hard to know what the big picture looks like and what zooming out on your life or the lives of the people around you looks like. But you know what? Because we belong to Jesus, because we believe in him, because we know that he died and rose again, we actually, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are given the ability to see what our ultimate future really does look like. The Holy Spirit reveals to us that we belong to Jesus now and will belong to him forever, and we'll get to live with him forever. That even though we are sinners and we make mistakes and we fail and we have faults and we have bad days sometimes, that those things do not keep us away from our Savior Jesus, that he loves us with an eternal love, and like I said, we get to live with him forever. So we're really thankful that just like James, we are given that power of faith to be able to see what we couldn't see without him, without the Holy Spirit's work in us. We can see the big picture, and it's all because God makes that possible. Isn't that great? So let's fold our hands, and let's bow our heads, and you can repeat after me. We're going to thank God for this amazing gift, okay? Dear God, we thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to see your Son and his big picture now and always. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you guys so much for coming up here today. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads and your grandmas. Good. And the rest of us will turn to our sermon hymn, which is today number 518. And for this hymn, we will sing verses 1 and 3, but then in the middle, we're going to jump to verse 27, which is the verse that is specifically for St. James of Jerusalem. So 1, and then 27, and back to 3. please stand? Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon today is actually going to be different from any of the three readings that we've already heard in the service today. For our meditation this morning, we are actually going to be focusing on the traditional gospel reading that is appointed for St. James of Jerusalem Day. And it happens to come from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. Just five short verses, verses 54 through 58. And I'll go ahead and read those to you now. It says, coming to his hometown, Jesus taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I've always considered myself a 90s kid. I was born in December of 1986, so almost 1987. So for me, the decade of the 90s was lived through between the ages of 3 and 13 years old. So I remember all of the quintessential 90s things, right? Like I remember going to Blockbuster Video and renting movies on VHS tapes. Right, I remember what it was like to have to learn the Macarena. I remember what it was like to raise a Tamagotchi digital pet. Anybody have a Tamagotchi? Okay, a few of you did. Good. I remember what it was like to have to take up my family's entire phone line with dial-up internet so that I could chat with my buddies on AOL Instant Messenger. I remember those years very well. But something that I almost forgot about the 90s, maybe some of you remember this, I was reminded of it this week. For a little while in the middle of that strange decade, all of a sudden it seemed like people were obsessed with these magic eye optical illusion puzzles. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The magic eyes? Okay. Good. So I remember a time when it seemed like there were just tons of these things everywhere. We had them collected into books. We had them in our school. We had them in our local library. We had them in the doctor's office waiting room. It was just like these magic eye puzzle books were everywhere. And in case you don't know about what I'm discussing here, I've actually asked Jane to print an example in the bulletin today. Some of you might have already seen it. It's in the bulletin, like on the last page of the announcements. And you have to kind of turn it sideways. I left where it says magiceye.jpg at the top, so you knew which side was the top, okay? So it looks like this. And when you take a look at it at first glance, this is just, you know, a 2D image of a bunch of dots, and it kind of maybe looks like some wavy lines and things like that. And I asked Wayne to put this up on the screen for those who are watching this at home as well, so you can see what we're talking about too. The official name for these is, it's a stereogram. And the idea is that if you look at this image in a certain way, if you let your eyes adjust, actually, the trick is you have to kind of look through the paper and not at the paper. But if you can get your eyes to look at it a certain way, an image, a three-dimensional image, will kind of pop out of the paper at you. Now, if you're watching this at home, I don't necessarily recommend staring at your phone or your computer screen too long because you might hurt your eyes, but I'm going to go ahead and let you look at this as long as you want to. I won't be offended if you're staring at your bulletin. I know you're still listening to me as I talk. And I'm going to check in a little while, and we're going to see if anybody was able to figure out the magic eye that's in the bulletin today. But anyway, so like I said, we are discussing St. James of Jerusalem. I think it's really important whenever we talk about someone like St. James, we need to just make sure at first that we are talking about the same person. The name James in the New Testament is very similar to the name Mary. There's lots of different Marys in the New Testament. There's lots of different guys named James in the New Testament. When we think about the name James, I think usually the first Saint James that pops in our head is James the disciple, the fisherman, right? The brother of John, the son of Zebedee, you know, in the big three, the inner circle with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. That's usually the James we're thinking of, but that's not the James we're talking about today. And there's another disciple named James. Sometimes he's nicknamed James the Lesser, and his father was Alphaeus, so he's James the son of Alphaeus, but that's a different James too. James of Jerusalem was actually not one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, but he was a very important figure because, like I was sharing earlier with the children, he actually became a leader in the early church, and he's called St. James of Jerusalem because in those days, of course, Jerusalem was the mother church from which everything started when we talk about Christianity and everything starting 2,000 years ago, and James was the leader of that mother church. We see James in action in other parts of the New Testament. In the book of Acts, in chapter 15, there's a really famous scene where James is the main character, because some of you might remember in those days there was a controversy. As the gospel started to leave Israel and go out to the Gentiles in all these different Greek cities. I mean, what a wonderful thing that was, but it created some debates among the Christians who had come from the Jewish tradition, trying to figure out how Jewish do you need to be in order to truly be one of God's people? And so there was this debate going on. There was a famous meeting called the Jerusalem Council, and in Acts chapter 15, St. James is the one who stands up and he proclaims that we are not going to force the Gentile converts to Christianity to become like Jewish men in order to be saved. We're not going to put that burden on them. They don't have to follow the same food laws. The men don't have to be circumcised. All of those other things that go along with being a Jewish family don't apply to the Gentile Christians. It was a really important turning point. St. James is also the one who wrote the book of James. So later on in the New Testament, you've got a letter, James, and it was written by St. James of Jerusalem. That letter we certainly don't have time to cover in full right now, but there are some really important things that come out of the letter of James. James talks a lot about a faith that is active and living. He talks about the importance of good works and loving your neighbor. Not that those things are what save you, but that a true saving faith will involve good works. It all is part of what it means to believe. We also know in the beginning of James's letter, he talks about faith in the face of pressure and opposition and persecution, a steadfast faith that is able to endure everything because of what Christ was able to endure for you and for me. So James is a really important figure and an intriguing figure. But probably the most interesting thing about him is what I was talking about with the kids just a moment ago. The fact that he is referred to as the Lord's brother. And that's where the reading that I just read to you from Matthew 13 comes into play. The Lord's brother did not always believe in the Lord. So Jesus, in Matthew 13, comes back to his hometown. He comes back to Nazareth, where he was raised, and he comes to preach in the synagogue. And this reading tells us that there's brothers and sisters who are there. And in the list of brothers, James is listed first. Now, what exactly does that mean? There's been lots of conversation and debate over the years. People who would say that this clearly is meaning that James was a son of Mary and Joseph, born to them after Jesus was born. That would make him Mary's second-born son. There are others who would maintain that the Virgin Mary remained the Virgin Mary her entire life. And so maybe these brothers and sisters were those who belonged to Joseph from a previous marriage that the Bible never mentions or something like that. Maybe there's another way to understand it. I don't intend to solve that mystery in the sermon this morning, but I will just tell you for the record, just so you know where I stand, I do tend to believe that Mary and Joseph had a normal marriage after Jesus was born, that James's mother was also Mary. But either way you look at it, it's very clear from this text in Matthew 13 that James was there in Nazareth. And that James had a very unique relationship with our Lord Jesus. Whether James's mother is Mary or not, James was clearly raised in the same town as Jesus, in the same household as Jesus, and therefore was able to relate to him in a different way than you and I. Can you imagine being the younger sibling of the Son of God? Can you imagine what it would be like to be Jesus' little brother? Little brothers have a hard enough time in this world as it is. Can you imagine growing up with a big brother who literally never did a single thing wrong in his entire life? It would be impossible to live up to. Imagine hearing your mom and dad tell the story over and over and over again about what it was like when Jesus was born, and then always feeling jealousy rise within you because the angels didn't come back to sing when you were born. We would love to hear more about what it was like for Jesus to grow up. It's really intriguing when we talk about Jesus's childhood and we think about how the all-powerful, all-knowing God of the universe willingly and intentionally took on the limitations of human flesh and grew and learned and developed as a person just like you and I, and what that must have been like. The Bible doesn't give us a ton of information about those years in Jesus' life, but James witnessed it firsthand. James knew Jesus as a child. James knew Jesus as a preteen. James knew Jesus the teenager. And unfortunately, that actually backfired in terms of James's faith for a large portion of his life. For many years, when James would look at his brother Jesus, it was as though he was looking at a magic eye puzzle, like the one you have in your bulletin, right? For years, when James would look at Jesus, he couldn't really make sense of what he was looking at. And it really wasn't the only one either, because we can tell that from this text in Matthew 13. It wasn't just James, but it's many of the people in his hometown that are rejecting him, people that Jesus grew up with. Matthew tells us right here in this text, they took offense at him. He did not perform many miracles there, not because he couldn't, but because of their unbelief. We hear it in other passages too. In Mark chapter 3, his family thinks that he is out of his mind. In John chapter 7, it tells us not even his brothers believed in him. James and the others who knew Jesus in childhood were just a little too close to the situation and had a hard time accepting that this boy from Nazareth was really, in fact, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Even as he went about his earthly ministry and he preached in the synagogues and he healed the sick, it all looked to them like a bunch of dots and wavy lines. So that kind of raises the question then, how does James go from being this mocking unbeliever to then becoming a leader in the early church? It's actually pretty simple. James saw the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And when he saw Jesus, after seeing Jesus die on the cross, seeing him alive again, that's the moment where everything changed. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all the different people that Jesus appeared to after he was raised from the dead. And in verse 7 of that chapter, he specifically mentions that Jesus appeared to James, his brother. And that's the famous moment, right? That's the moment when you've been staring at this thing the whole sermon and you still can't figure it out, and then that moment comes when your eyes finally adjust and you're able to actually see the picture behind the picture. For James, it was the moment that he saw his brother alive. Just curious, did anybody actually figure it out? Some of you got it. What is it? It's a heart, right? Yeah, it's a heart. Anybody still not seeing it at all? A few of you? Okay, that's all right. It's okay to admit it. It's all right. Yeah, it's a heart, and it's kind of like inside sort of a round, like kind of looks like a globe or something, but the heart is sticking out there. And if you can't see the heart, if you can't for the life of you figure out a magic eye puzzle, don't worry, right? It's just a silly sermon illustration. It's not a test of your salvation or faith or anything like that. But even if you can't see the heart in the bulletin, we give thanks to God that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have been given the gift of faith. And through the eyes of faith, you can see the heart of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You, just like James, are able to see the death and resurrection of Jesus for what it really is. It's love. Pure and simple. It's love. It's the love of a God poured out for his creation. It's love for forgiven sinners like you and me. It's love in spite of the fact that when God looks at us, stares at us, sees into our lives and sees into our souls and sees our sin and our faults and our failures, yet he chooses to love us anyway, unconditionally and eternally, and to bestow upon us a righteousness that so often seems to get hidden in this broken world, but certainly is not hidden from the perspective of the kingdom of God, a righteousness that allows us to live in his presence for all eternity. And yeah, it might be true that when Jesus' little brother James was born, you didn't hear the angels singing, glory. We don't hear that. But the angels did rejoice. They did rejoice over James. The angels rejoiced on the day that James, by the power of the Holy Spirit, was able to see the Lord through the eyes of faith. The day that James belonged to the Lord by the power of water and the word through holy baptism. The same thing is true for you and for me. The angels rejoice over every sinner who repents and believes. So we have new eyes. And we have a fresh perspective with which we can go and see the rest of the world. And with that new perspective, let us love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Let's love our neighbors as ourselves, but by the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, let's help others to also see the heart of Jesus. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. I invite you to turn now to page 223, and we will sing together the Te Deum.
Thank you.
Congregation may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We turn now to page 227, and we continue our service with the prayers. And first, we will sing together the Kyrie. Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. We pray together the collect of the day, printed on the inside cover of your bulletin. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and always ready to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour down on us the abundance of your mercy. Forgive us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and give us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except by the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In our prayer of the church today, we do have a few updates to the prayer list. Under ongoing health needs, we have been praying for Doug Hoogie. We give thanks to God today as he's been treated for his throat cancer. He had a PET scan this past week, and it showed that he is now cancer-free. We give thanks to God for that. We have listed there the families of three ladies who have passed recently. Our dear sister in Christ, Nancy Buchholz, member of our congregation, passed away on Wednesday morning. She was living in a nursing home up in northern Indiana, and she will be most likely having a memorial service later on, possibly in the spring sometime. We'll let you know once we know. Elizabeth Bainey, that is the mother of Carla Hannon. Liz passed away on Wednesday evening, and visitation for her is tomorrow from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Nordyke Funeral Home up in Carlisle. The funeral will be on Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock over at Trinity in Hoffman. And also Loretta Eichmeyer, and that would be the sister of Beulah Holly, also a relative of the Holly and Eichmeyer families. And she passed away this week up in Michigan. And we also have one other prayer request. This would be for Dorothy Lange, and that is the sister of Roy Krieger and Aggie Baining. She is going to be having a complicated low back surgery this week coming up at St. Louis University Hospital. So we'll be lifting her in prayer. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord, you have taught us to pray and have encouraged us to pray persistently and without fear. Hear the prayers of your people and grant us all good things for each of us as we have need and for all people. O Lord, grant us the blessing of your grace and faith to hear and heed the voice of your word. Give us patience, endurance in time of trial, and courage that we may not despair when we suffer for the sake of the kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Timothy was charged to preach the word in season and out of season. Grant us, O Lord, faithful pastors who will answer your call and be faithful voices, speaking your word to those who have not heard it, to those lost in error, to those who have fallen away, and to those who are weary. Bless all those in full-time service to your church. Raise up many who will serve the generations to come. Be with all of our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Joel Fritchie, who serves you in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in Oakville, and their pastor, Eric Wood. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our President, Joe Biden, the Congress of these United States, our Governor, J.B. Pritzker, and all elected and appointed officials of government. Guide them to promote good and just laws for the benefit of all people. Give them integrity that they may serve the highest good with all their abilities. Bless those whose sacrificial service regularly protects and defends us here and abroad, especially the members of the armed forces, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Lucas, Mark, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings of earthly life. We ask you to continue to provide us with favorable weather during this harvest season. Keep safe those who work in the fields and grant to us an abundant harvest. Bless also those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Jamie, Karen, Marianne, Dennis, Julie, Alyssa, and Willard. And we also thank you for your gifts of marriage and family, and ask you to bless those whose anniversaries are this week, especially Virgil and Elaine Spenner. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Deliver the sick from their afflictions. Grant peace to those troubled in mind. Be with the dying and console the grieving. And especially be with all those who are on our prayer list, those who are in care facilities, Marlene, Thretta, Wilfred, Bill, Richard, Helen, Jim, Imogene, and Brian. We lift Dorothy before your throne as she faces her surgery this week. We pray that you would bless the surgeon and that all would go well. We also lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Daryl, Joan, Bobby, Amy, Tony, Diane, Eric, Patrick, Tiffany, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Roy, Bradley, Jamie Lynn, Wayne, Corey, Michael, Linda, Sam, Charlie, Shoei, Judy, Paula, and all those who are fighting cancer. When illness, frailty of mind or body, and the weakness of old age would test us, we pray, Lord, for strength and for confidence in all your promises, that we may be kept in your perfect peace no matter what circumstances surround us. Comfort those who mourn the loss of loved ones, especially the family and friends of Nancy Buchholz, Elizabeth Bainey, and Loretta Eichmeyer. Grant to them the peace that passes all understanding as they look forward to their reunion in heaven. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy to provide us all things as we have need. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated. And for our closing hymn, we will now turn to hymn 700, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
Good morning. Lots going on this time of the year, so I'm going to run through these announcements as quickly as I can. Today is a really special family night. We hope you'll come back and join us at 5:30 over in the gymnasium at the school. We're going to be having a potluck, so please bring a dish to share. And after we eat, we're going to take pumpkins, which have been they've been donated to us, so you don't need to bring a pumpkin with you. But if you have any pumpkin carving kits or any decoration supplies, you can feel free to bring those along. We do have some here, but we just want to make sure we have enough for everybody. So if you have one, bring it along with you. We'll hopefully be gathering until about 7:30 or so this evening, but we hope to see you there tonight. Coming up this week, we got the last call for our church pictorial directory photos for those who are planning to submit your photo if you didn't have them professionally taken. We need to have those pictures in by this Tuesday. You can email them to Jane. The email address is there in the bulletin. Or you can text them to the number that is printed for you in the bulletin as well. Chimes are practicing tomorrow night. Mixed choir on Wednesday. Women's Bible study will also take place Wednesday night. This coming Friday, please note, there's an early dismissal from school on Friday at 11:30. And the regular buses will be running that day. This coming Saturday, the 29th, is the Zone Fall Workshop for the LWML. It's going to be hosted at Emmanuel Lutheran in Oakville. So ladies, please take note of that. The registration begins at 8:30 and it will end in the early afternoon on Saturday. Next Sunday morning is October 30th, and that will be the day of our senior social right after church. We're going to have a roast beef dinner, and there's a sign-up sheet. If you would please be kind and sign up if you haven't done so already, that will help us to plan. Donovan Holly is going to be the special program next Sunday, and he's going to be giving some information about the history of Hoyleton. And as a part of that presentation, he asked me if I would ask you, if you're planning to come next Sunday, would you please consider bringing some photos that you might have from Hoyleton or maybe your family farm or your business, anything that would be kind of interesting to share with the group. If you would bring that with you next week, that would be wonderful. A couple other things to mention. Last night was the big Sterling Evening Auction over at Christ Our Rock Lutheran High School, and they have a fund a project going on right now. There is a blurb about that in the bulletin. It is for the transportation fund. There is a need for fuel and upkeep and repairs on the buses and vans that they utilize. And the Mashoffs have agreed to match dollar for dollar everything that is donated to that fund a project. They have extended it until this coming Friday. So if any of you are interested in helping with that, your donation will be matched by the Mashoffs. If you do so, please contact the school office over at Christ Our Rock for more information. Also in your bulletin, there is, next to the magic eye, there's a half sheet that talks about some new ways to contribute or to give an offering to the ministry here at Trinity. For those of you who missed the voters assembly meeting or didn't hear the treasurer's report, we do have extra ways to give that might be more convenient for you or somebody that you know. There are options to do automatic payments from your bank accounts, and it doesn't matter which bank you use. The process is maybe different for each one, but we have some sign-up sheets in the back, a registration form if you want to do an electronic transfer from your bank. There's also a way to give through a debit card or a credit card through Venco Mobile. You can download their app, or you can scan the QR code in the bulletin. Who thought we'd ever say something like that? You can scan this QR code, and you can give right directly to the ministry through that. And if you have any questions at all, you can ask our co-treasurers, Susie Robbins and Wayne Grody. They'll have more information for you. And those of you who are watching on the live stream, you probably already saw a little QR code. We're going to be doing that during the offerings to make it as convenient as possible for people to give their offerings. I think those are all the announcements I had. I'm going to ask Mr. Schaaf to come. It is school minute day, so You've got 60 seconds, my friend. There you go.
All right, thank you, Pastor. First of all, I graduated in 87, and this was one of my favorite things. They'd have color books of the Magic Eye. They're awesome. So if you can't see it, hold it closer, then slowly move it back. That helps. Anyway, thank you, 3rd through 8th graders, for singing, and Mrs. Tiemann for directing this morning. The choir sounded wonderful. Thank you, congregation, for allowing our faculty to go to the Lutheran Education Association convocation in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We had an enjoyable time, great learning experience with over 3,000 other educators. We got to hear some wonderful speakers. One of them is Scott Hamilton, a famous skater from a long time ago. But he's still alive, and how the Lord brought him through cancer and gave him a Christian wife, all kinds of neat stories. The faculty is enjoying their new science curriculum called Nancy Larson. Thank you for voting on that a year ago. And the cool thing is we met Nancy Larson at the LEA convocation in Milwaukee, and we got to talking with her. And she's developing the next grade level, and she may use Mrs. Zernike's class as a pilot later on when she gets that developed. All right, we have a lot of exciting things happening in sports. The Pee Wee basketball team, which is consisting of our fourth and fifth graders, they are undefeated and they won the conference tournament. So give them a hand. There are a lot of them here. Yeah. Yeah, they had a great game yesterday for the conference championship. So awesome job, guys. We have our regular boys and girls basketball teams. They're up and going. Those are fifth through eighth graders. All the home girls games, coached by Miss Maddie Royce, they're going to be here in Trinity Hoyleton, and the boys games are going to be at St. Mary's School in Centralia. Thank you to our congregation for voting to provide the upper classrooms at our school, our four upper classrooms, with mini splits. Now, a mini split isn't just, you know, like this. A mini split is a heating and air conditioning unit, and they're much more energy efficient, and the teachers are looking forward to that because the other ones are old and they're starting to die, and we don't like hot classrooms, so I appreciate that. We're Smart is quickly approaching November 13th, good fundraiser that our PTL does. If you would like to help or donate desserts, please contact Kirk or Carson Meyer. And also, something to look forward to, we have been faithfully blessed with a wonderful faculty and staff. So we're doing little small interviews, and so look at Facebook, and if you don't have Facebook, that's fine. Somebody does somewhere. We will have their picture and some information about each person on our faculty and staff over the next few weeks, and you may even learn some new things. It should be interesting. So finally, thank you to Brad and Lisa Rommelman. They stopped by on Friday afternoon and gave every student and faculty a pumpkin. So we're thankful for that. So it's kind of cool to see all these children get on the bus and stuff with pumpkins and things like that. And then they donated them for tonight's family event. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please let me know. Lord's blessings on your day. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Schaff. Any other announcements today? Okay, if not, enjoy the rest of your day. Have a blessed week in the Lord. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.